Blog Talk Radio.
Spend some time in the country. We're glad that you dropped by. Spend some time in the country. Leave your worries behind. There's lots of fun for everyone. The best in music too. Spend some time in the country. We've been waiting here for you. Here in the country. Waiting here for you.
Welcome to In the Country, an Artist Insights exclusive production, bringing you up close and personal interviews with your favorite country music stars. Now here's the host of In the Country, Dave Wood.
Welcome to this Thursday, September the 10th edition of In the Country. I'm your host, Dave Woods. Special thanks to Larry Delaney of Country Music News, great publication out of Ottawa that gets you up to date on all the latest news in country music in Canada and the States. He did a great article about our show in the August issue, so thanks, Larry. I really appreciate that. Well, today it is my pleasure to welcome from Windsor, Ontario, country artist Crystal Gage to the show. Hey, Crystal.
Hi, how you doing, Dave?
I'm doing awesome. Great to have you on the line.
Well, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Now, you're from Windsor, and I believe you're calling in from Nashville at the moment?
Actually, no. We flew into Seattle yesterday, and I just drove. We're actually just arrived in Vancouver for the Country Music Week, so
awesome.
Looking forward to that. Yeah.
That's
so
pretty exciting.
I'm calling from my Nashville cell phone, so that's probably why I came in like that.
That's what did it, exactly. Okay.
Yep.
Well, that's great. Yeah, the CCMA's Country Music Week, I guess, starts today and runs right through, of course, until the CCMA's on Sunday.
Exactly, yep.
So are you doing any performing there at all, or are you just there to cheer everyone on?
Pretty much to cheer everybody on this year. I haven't been to the CCMAs in a good 5 years, so I'm looking forward to seeing some people, and I've made a lot of contacts in the last 5 years, so I'm looking forward to, you know, just meeting new people, seeing people that I know in the industry, and I'm also hopefully going to talk to some people about recording another album. Maybe I can look up, meet some producers or whatnot to help me out with that in the future. So.
That sounds like a great plan. And now I was reading where you've opened for some pretty big names, Big and Rich, Gretchen Wilson, Jason McCoy, and a whole slew of others. What's that experience like when you're opening up for such big name acts?
It's so funny because those kind of shows, they go by so fast. It's one of those things you spend so much time preparing for them, and then when you get up there, it's really just kind of like a blip. You know, you're up there and you're kind of in another world when you're out on stage in those moments when there's tons of people. And when I played Bayfest before Gretchen Wilson and Big and Rich, there's like 18,000 people. So, you walk on stage, you're kind of in another world. You don't even really think about what you're doing until afterwards, and you go, you know, that was cool. I want to try it again, you know?
That's
so,
cool.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing, yeah.
It sinks in later, the reality of what you just did performing for such a big crowd.
Oh, absolutely. And you're on such a high. Like, there's so much adrenaline that just pumps through you that you don't even really think about the moment until afterwards, and you're like, wow, you know?
I know you're very comfortable on stage. I can tell as far as checking out a couple of the YouTube videos where you're performing some of your songs, and you're just really energetic, a lot of hand motions and all that kind of stuff. You really get into your performance. So do you feel really good on stage?
I love it. It's really my favorite place in the whole world. I don't know. There's some sort of it's a security blanket, you know, that I feel when I'm up on stage, when I have the microphone, and I just feel like, okay, for this moment, you know, I'm in control of the situation, and it's just a cool feeling and a cool moment. Like, I feel like, you know, whether I'm on stage for half an hour, for an hour, I know what's going to go on for the next half hour, an hour, you know. And sometimes in life you don't really get that luxury all the time, you know. So it
True.
Really is my favorite place in the world, for sure.
That's awesome. Now, can you take us back, Crystal, to when you first started singing? I believe it was at the age of 8. Can you sort of tell the circumstances around that?
Well, sure, yeah. I was 8 years old, and I was, at the time, I was enrolled in everything. I mean, my parents put me in baseball, brownies, you know, figure skating and bowling, and we were busy every night of the week, and I was watching Star Search at the time, Ed McMahon's Star Search, and there was a young lady on it, and at the time, I didn't know really who it was, but it was Britney Spears that I was watching. I didn't know this, but she was just a young girl, you know, competing on that show, and I sat there, and I watched it by myself, and as soon as it was over, you know, that's when I went to my parents and I said, you know, is there such a thing as singing lessons? I said, I'll give up everything. I will give up baseball. I will give up bowling. I'll give up everything that I do if you let me, you know, try to be a singer. And at first they kind of passed it off, like, sure, okay, you know. But I went back a week later and I said, no, I'm serious. I will quit everything. And sure enough, I did. I gave everything up except baseball. I stayed in that for a little bit. But and I started taking voice lessons. And at the time, the studio that I started with in Windsor, just a local recording studio that I started with, they said, we don't take kids this young normally, and but bring her in and we'll listen to her and see how her range is, and maybe we'll sign her up. And after my first lesson, they said, yeah, definitely, we'll work with her. And I mean, it was all uphill from there, you know. I started singing, you know, just I sang the anthems for little house league baseball games and things like that, and that's how I got my start, just local fairs and festivals. I mean, my parents, they were so great. They called, you know, local fairs and festivals when I was, you know, 9 and 10 and said, my daughter's a singer and she'd love to sing on your stage, you know, and so it was for nothing. I just got up and I did it and just got the experience, and it just started snowballing from there. And then and before you knew it, you know, I couldn't stop. It was like an addiction. It was just,
that's
like,
amazing.
You know,
and starting that young, of course, it got you more and more comfortable and all that experience. So now, what was your first performance where, say, you weren't singing an anthem, but you were singing a song and sort of on a bigger stage?
Yeah, I did the Corn Festival in Windsor. It was just a local festival, and I remember it was my very first half an hour performance. And it was so funny because, I mean, it was one of those things. I was 10 years old, and I said to my mom, I said, we got to get my hair done. We spent hours looking for the right dress. And, I mean, it was, of course, at the time, it was like ringlets, and, you know, it was just this is huge. And we had, and my mom said to me, you know, you can't just stand up there and sing. You have to talk. Well, when I was 10 years old, I wasn't comfortable with that at all. And she's like, I said, what do you mean? She said, you can't just stand up there and sing. You have to, you know, introduce your songs. And so we had it scripted, what exactly I was going to say and how much time between each song for this half-hour performance. It was a pretty big deal. I remember that. So
that's really
cool.
It
was pretty fun. Yeah.
And who were some of your influences in music back at that age, 8, 9, and 10, that you were looking up to and songs you were singing?
Well, it's really funny because when I started singing pop music. So when I first started taking my first few lessons, it was, you know, Bette Midler and Celine Dion and Mariah Carey, Whitney Houston. So it was those, you know, those songs that I was singing. And because I had a fairly, you know, large range when I was young. But then what happened was pop music started to become, you know, Britney Spears and Christina Aguilera. And it just wasn't my image, you know. I wanted to still keep a wholesome image with and sing songs that I love. So that's when I was about 15 and I said, you know, I got to start, you know, doing some research and finding a style of music where I can, you know, keep a good clean image and still, you know, sing songs that I enjoy and that the audience enjoys. And that's when I just developed a love for country music, was 15 years old. And I wanted to research too. I didn't want to sing something I didn't know anything about. So I started, you know, with Patsy Cline and some Tammy Wynette and some Loretta Lynn. And I just went right back and dug deep to some old classic country songs and then started to develop a love for all of it, you know.
So that's great. You sort of went to your own school of country music and got yourself up to speed. And who were some of the singers out at that time when you were 15 that you started to sing?
Like, I loved singing, like, some Faith Hill, and at the time, you know, Shania Twain was really big, and of course, being Canadian, she's one that I really, you know, took a liking to right off the bat. But I would have to say one that I've always admired and loved is Reba McEntire, for just how she's, you know, just her staying power and how she changes with the music, and is, I mean, I think her music is timeless, for sure.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. She's managed to keep her career going for such a number of years, keeping
Definitely.
It fresh, and then, of course, she's spun into other stuff, and it looks like from the YouTube videos, you're a great entertainer. Would you ever like to do a variety show type of thing if somebody approached you? You could do the whole comedy
absolutely.
And music? Yeah.
Absolutely. Like, I've often said, you know, something like, even something like what Donnie and Marie used to do. Like, when I do my shows, it's more than just me being up there singing songs. I like to connect with the audience because
right.
I just believe, like, the audience, for that hour, they could be going through anything in their life, but for this next hour, you know, we're going to have a relationship. We're going to have fun. It's not just, okay, you know, I'm done now. I'm going to get off the stage. Just let me be your friend for an hour, you know? And so I just feel like it's a kind of an experience rather than just as a show that I want to put on for them, you know?
That's a great approach to it, for sure.
Thank you.
Now, I also read that you had a chance to meet Michelle Wright. We've had her on the show in the past, and she was great to speak with. And that was a pretty cool experience for you as well.
I love Michelle Wright. Especially she lives, I mean, when she grew up about an hour away from where I live back home. So I'd always heard a lot about her, and I kind of, you know, was, you know, mindful of her successes because she lived so close. But I had a chance to meet her years ago, but that was, you know, before I had my career going. But the cool part was she also played Manitoulin Country Fest with me this year. And they brought me out and they brought her out. And we did a meet and greet for all the people that had VIP passes, and I showed up. And I showed up there as an artist because I was singing, but I was there, and I was so excited. Everybody's like, you're going to get to meet Michelle Wright. You're going to get to talk to Michelle Wright. So I show up at the meet and greet so excited with my camera ready to get a picture with Michelle Wright. And before I knew it, I didn't even realize, like, I was one of the artists that the people were meeting and greeting too. So before I knew it, I turned around, and Michelle Wright had a line of fans to meet and greet her, and so did I. So I kind of ended up signing autographs right beside her instead of, you know, me getting the – before I turned around, and I didn't even get a picture with her because she was gone. So it was kind of cool to just be in that – you don't really put your career into perspective until a moment like that where you go, wow, these people are lining up to get a picture with me too. Wow. You know, here's me just so excited to be, you know, right next to Michelle Wright. And the people are lining up for me. It was just really weird, but cool.
That's cool. And I guess it goes to show, even when you become a successful singer, you're still a big fan of somebody else. So it just...
Oh, definitely.
Goes back and forth.
Well, they're people you look up to, right? Yeah, I mean, you don't have any way to judge your career unless you do, you know, look at other people that are doing the same thing as you. So, really, I mean, I've looked up to her for years, and then just to be standing in that moment next to her was really, really a surreal experience, for sure.
That's awesome, Crystal. Now, before we talk further, and I want to talk about the CMT competition and your songwriting and a bunch of other stuff, I want to let our listeners hear one of your songs, and I thought we'd start with Off the Rack, and maybe you can tell us a bit about it, Crystal, and the writers on it, and we'll share it with everyone.
Sure. It was written by Daryl Burgess and Cyril Rawson, and Cyril actually wrote quite a few songs on this album. I just love his writing, and he's such a great person, and every time he pitches me a song, I fall in love with it. But this particular song, Off the Rack, was the first single that we released from this album last year, and it was actually a song that I was... he had sent me... It was so funny. When I was opening for Gretchen Wilson, Cyril had sent me a demo tape to let her listen to. And he said, will you give this to her rather than him mail it? And I said, sure. And, of course, I was so bad, and I don't even know if he knows this, but I was just curious, so I opened up the package and had to listen to the song, you know, before I gave it to Gretchen Wilson. And I said, you know, well, if she doesn't want it, I'm going to call him and say, you know, hey, can I have the song? So sure enough, down the road it went, and she had turned down the song, and I thought, you know what, I'm going to get a chance to record this song. And sure enough, he let me. So
that's
so,
very
so
cool.
It paid to open up her package.
Definitely.
But I was like, I don't know if I'll get in trouble for this, but it really paid to, because I really fell in love with the song, and, you know, if she didn't want it, that's okay, because I love it. So
there you go. What a cool story. That's great. Now, this is, we'll play that with for everyone. This is Crystal Gage and Off the Rack here on In the Country.
Every hair was styled perfect, made me a little nervous, but I swear he spent
And that's Crystal Gage here on In the Country with her song Off the Rack, and we're speaking with Crystal. Now, that, I understand, is from your Dust to Diamond CD?
Yes, that's right.
And can you tell us a bit about the CD, Crystal, the producer on it, and sort of how all that came together?
It was produced by Jim Hoffman, and this is actually the second CD that I have done and released nationally.
Right.
So, you know, I just love the work that he did on my first one, which was called No Stone Unturned, and then so that I enlisted him for the second one right off the bat, because we already had, you know, a pile of songs that we, you know, had put to the side to record at a later date. So we were already pretty much half done, and I said, hey, can we, you know, get working on a second album? So, yeah, he's the producer on both my first albums.
And how many songs would you say you listened to narrow it down to the final 10 or 12?
Well, I was just actually getting into songwriting, so I hadn't done too much writing before that. So
right.
I was pretty much going based on, you know, trying to find the right songs that fit me, because even though I wasn't the writer on a lot of the songs, I wanted to find songs that still I could relate to, so that I wasn't just singing songs about things I didn't know about.
Sure.
So I went through a good, I would have to say 500 songs from,
wow,
you know, so many different writers. And it's funny because somebody will send you a demo CD and there might be, you know, 100 songs to go through. But you might find one gem in 100 songs. So you've got to listen to them all, you know. So that's one of my projects I do while I'm driving, you know, kind
yeah.
of just pass the time and listen to songs. And then the ones that stick out in your mind, you know, afterwards, those are the ones you revisit.
So that's obviously a lot of time involved. When you're listening, can you sometimes, after like 10 or 20 seconds, say, or even just the first verse, that's a no, and then, or you might get excited by one just after the first verse?
Yeah, well, you can usually tell, but by the time it gets to the chorus, I can usually tell if it's something, you know, if it's a topic that I can relate to, I keep listening. If it's a topic I don't really think is, you know, proper for my age or for, you know, my stage in my career, then I don't keep listening. But if it's something, you know, that jumps out right off the bat, then I put it on the short list and to revisit again. And then what I do is I take all the songs that are on the short list and I put them onto a CD and then narrow it down from those. So
it must be pretty exciting when you're going through them, and because obviously a lot of them might be average, it might be good, but when you start to hear one that you go, wow, that's amazing.
Yeah, it's actually really, really exciting when you hear one and you go,
yeah,
you know, that one, I could so see myself singing. And my challenge, too, is also to find songs that I can incorporate into my show, since my show isn't just something where I'm just standing there and singing. I like to find songs where I can, you know, bounce them off the audience and things that are catchy so that the audience can relate to them as well throughout the show. So I try to find songs that go with my personality, too.
That's great. Now, Crystal, tell us about CMT Karaoke Superstar. I remember watching, and I believe it was the very first season, and you were on, and you ended up winning the whole competition.
It was such a cool experience. It's so funny because, I mean, I've done competitions my whole life, and I've, you know, come in, you know, first, second, third, but this one, it's almost, you feel like, I felt like, okay, you know, I've been working hard and this is the reason, you know, it's one of those moments where you go, everything you've been through, all the ups and downs has been worth it because of this moment. And,
wow.
And, I think the coolest part about the CMT Karaoke Star, competition is that it's fan voted. So it's not, I mean, there's judges there to put you through to the next round, but in the end, it's all in how many votes you get and how many, you know, people sit there online and click vote again, vote
right.
again, you vote again, you know, so,
yep.
So it's really, really cool. I'm telling you, I had a bunch of people in my fan base tell me that, you know, I might have to pay, you know, to get their fingers fixed because they were clicking all day long. So, but I really, it was a moment where you get to see, you know, that the people are on your side, you know,
right.
and that the fans really enjoy what you're doing. And even though, you know, I mean, I sang Jesus Take the Wheel because you only had to choose two songs. There was two songs to choose from. So it wasn't even my song, but it was a moment where I got to see, okay, the people that have been following my career and the people that are watching this show like what I'm doing, like what I'm putting out there. So, yeah, it's a really, really good moment, and it was a really cool, you know, moment for my career, for sure.
I'll bet. And some of the judges at the time, I'm trying to recall, I think Amanda Wilkinson was a judge.
Yeah, she was actually, they brought her in for the final show.
Okay.
So they brought her in, and then Beverly Mahood was on the judging panel, and also the final show, Paul Brandt was brought
right.
in, and then Casey Clark. So
yes.
it was just so cool to be, I mean, in the presence of these people, which, I mean, at the time, I had never really shared the stage with any of them or anything like that. So just to be, you know, at the CMT studios with these people, and it was just really, really cool, really cool.
And for all your friends and family to see you, that must have been awesome. And then I'm sure afterwards people probably saw you and, oh, there's Crystal. Probably got some recognition from it.
Definitely. And I mean, the internet's been the coolest avenue to help me with that. I mean, after I won, I can remember it was right when Facebook was starting to get, you know, really popular. And so after I won, I had people from all across Canada. At the time, I had just kind of built Ontario up, but I was getting, you know, people from all over Canada saying, you know, I love your music, I'd like to get a copy of your CD, you know. So it was a really cool, you know, avenue to just start shooting across Canada, not just Ontario.
And on top of all that, the big bonus was $10,000.
Yeah, that didn't hurt.
That's pretty good too.
That's true. Everybody's like, you must have gone shopping. I wish I went shopping. No, I was right in the middle of recording Dust to Diamonds when I did it, so
right.
It actually helped pay for the final production.
Excellent.
Of that. So it came at the perfect time, really.
Perfect timing. Perfect. Now, what about songwriting, Crystal? You touched on that a bit earlier. Do you remember when you wrote your very first song?
Yeah, my very first song was a song that actually made it onto Dust to Diamonds. It was it's called One Lie Away from Lonely, and I co-wrote that with Tim Taylor, a good friend of mine. He lives in Nashville, but he is a Canadian. And my producer Jim Hobson put me in touch with him a few years ago, and it was, I mean, I had dabbled in songwriting but never really had the confidence to put anything down on paper. And my producer said, you know, we're going to go down. I've got a couple friends. You're going to sit down and write with them. So I went in to Tim Taylor's house, and I gave him some titles of some songs that I had jotted down, and he said, I said, One Lie Away from Lonely, and right away he said, I love it. Did you come up with that? And I said, yeah. And I said, I even researched on the internet. There was no other song titled that. And so we decided to make it just a cool, you know, tongue-in-cheek, like a fun song, you know, like, hey, if you do this to me one more time, you're one lie away from lonely. And we kind of wrote from that, and he loved it, and my producer loved it, and so it made it onto the album. So it was really cool to, you know, put my own input into a song, you know,
for
the very first time. Yeah.
Yeah,
so,
it's a great title. It just right away catches you when you hear it, just as soon as you said it.
You want to hear it, see?
Yeah, exactly.
So, thank you. You know, it's pretty exciting. Still nerve-wracking. I mean, it's still really, I still get really nervous, you know, when I get up and I sing my own songs that I wrote. But so far the feedback's been good, so I'm looking forward to down the road putting some more onto CDs. So.
And are you pretty comfortable? I mean, your first time obviously would have been nervous with Tim to start opening up about your ideas for songs. But now when you sit down with another co-writer, do you feel somewhat confident with putting ideas out and sort of going back and forth?
Yeah, I feel much more comfortable now. In fact, when I get back from Vancouver, I've got a couple writing appointments with different people in Nashville. So yeah, definitely. I mean, the first couple times that I wrote that I sat down with different people, I was just very nervous because it was a you know, a field I never dabbled in. And like I said, like, I'm comfortable when I'm on stage, but, you know, this is a whole new ball game, you know, to be putting down my own ideas, not somebody else's. So so now, yeah, it's a lot easier to sit down. And I'm okay, like, if throwing out ideas and maybe the co-writer might not like, you know, some of the ideas, but it's definitely awesome to be able to bounce, you know, different thoughts that are in your mind off of somebody. So co-writing, I think, is the best way to go, for sure.
That sounds good. Yep, you draw on the strengths of the two writers, and so you're bound to come up with something better than you could alone in almost all cases. So
exactly. And a lot of times I've had, you know, the ability to, you know, write down some ideas, or I'll have a thought in my head, but I can't really get them out on paper.
Right.
So it's nice to be able to just kind of, most of the writers that I write with, we sit there and we chat a little bit about life, you know, and sometimes that will spark an idea, you know. So it's really, really cool to be able to bounce off of other people.
That's great. Are you a fan of the Idol shows? You were mentioning Jesus Take the Wheel, Carrie Underwood's big song. Do you follow those?
I'm addicted.
Yeah?
Yeah, it really is an addiction. It's like,
I love it too.
Oh my gosh, it's Tuesday night, you know, and American Idol's on. Oh, my gosh, you know, and I've got a show. So it's like I got to make sure, you know, that the tape recorder is ready to go and everything else so that I don't miss a show. I love them. I, you know, and all of them. I mean, Canadian Idol's not on anymore, but everything from Karaoke Star, American Idol, America's Got Talent, whenever they're on, I try to watch them. So, yeah, I'm pretty it's kind of a really bad addiction, but yeah, I'm addicted.
It's entertaining. I love it, too. I love them. And it's great to watch the performers grow, because sometimes in the early weeks they're just the talent's there, but they're not either confidence or whatever it takes, and then by week 7 or 8 they're really coming into their own.
Well, you know, and I agree, and I think my favorite thing to do is to see the how they take the advice from the judges and apply it, you know, the following
right.
week. And just to, you know, just to see how they can, yeah, come into, they start out as just being, you know, people who may not know much about the music business. And
yeah.
before you know it, I mean, they've turned into these, like, pretty much almost stars that are packaged and ready to go, you know. So
that's
it's
right.
it's a pretty cool thing to watch, for sure.
And you got to tour recently with one of the contestants who's done well from Canadian Idol, J.D. Bixby, who's gone on to have some country hits out there.
Yeah, it was really funny. I got an opportunity to perform on Manitoulin Island with him, and he's so cool. His band was so awesome. We just did a show at the arena there, and he's super fun and down to earth. I mean, and I think that's, you know, that could be because of the Idol shows. They're normal people that go on these shows and sometimes turn out, you know, record deals. And I mean, he didn't even win the show, but he was so classy on stage. Like you would have thought he had been up there for years and just really, really classy. And the audience really, really enjoyed him. So it was really an honor to perform with him, for sure.
And especially, as you say, he's classy and all that. And for his age, I think, is he 17? 17 or 18?
He's 17. Yeah, it's probably 18 now. But at the time, he was 17. You wouldn't know. I mean, off stage, you know, he was a 17-year-old. He goofed around. I remember after the show, he had one of his bandmates push him around in just a chair with wheels, and that was the highlight of his night. I mean, so it was so fun to see this person on stage and a completely, you know, just boy. I mean, off stage, but on stage, he was so classy. Like, so it was really, really neat to see both sides of JD, for sure.
Yeah, he's had some great songs out in the cover of Break It to Them Gently is beautiful. Great job.
Oh, excellent. Excellent.
Now let's get back to your music here, Crystal, and I'll have you tell us a bit about it. It's your new single called Dust to Diamonds. Great, catchy country song. What can you tell us about that one?
Sure. Cyril Rawson, again, a writer on that one, and also Ron Harbin and Philip Douglas. I went down to Nashville just before the album was done, and they were demoing this song, so they had brought in a girl to sing the demo on this song, and he said, come on out and see how demos are made in Nashville. So I went out to just kind of watch the demo session, and fell in love with the song because it's so catchy. I mean, and I ended up singing it all the way home from Nashville, and I'm like, I love that song. It just gets stuck in your head. So my producer said, well, let me call him and find out what his plans are with it. And called him and said, you know, before you send it out, is it all right if we, you know, have a go at that song? And Cyril's so great. He said, yeah, you know, go for it. And it ended up being, you know, the title of the album. And it's one of those songs that after people hear it, they remember it. So
right.
So I knew that it had to be the song that was, and we put it last on the album, one of those, you know, go out with a bang, because I just think it's such a cool, catchy, fun. And what I like, too, is it stays pretty traditional, which is what I love, you know. It's fun. All ages seem to be liking it, but it still hits a little bit on the traditional side of country. So it's right where I want to be, for sure.
Perfect. This is Crystal Gage with Dust to Diamonds here on In the Country.
Come butcher said Bobby dig right there. Next thing you know, there was oil everywhere. All he did was hit a pipe at the bottom of a hole that ran all the way to Texaco. Got the diamonds, diamonds, and guns. The short street dance with the ladybug. Uptown.
And there's a brand new single from our guest, Crystal Gage. The song is Dust to Diamonds. And Sarah Ross is one of the co-writers on that. We've had him on the show in the last couple of months, and he was great to talk to. So many interesting stories, and like you say, he's just one terrific writer.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, he's really great.
Now, Crystal, can you tell us about your fan club? I know they're a bunch of passionate fans who follow you, and you even got a website that for them. And tell us all about what they mean to you.
I'm spoiled rotten, and I tell them this all the time. I say, I'm spoiled rotten, but I'm very appreciative. They are so warm. I've had some fans in my fan club since we started it back in, I believe it was 2001, I think is when we started it. And basically, you know, they're paid members. They pay $12 a year, and we send them four newsletters a year just telling them about, you know, what's going on in my life, what's going on with my career. And we also offer them, you know, well, the special section on the website that's, you know, open just to them where they get to see, you know, an inside of the music business from my point of view. And they're just so great. They're always there, and they're always supportive. And I just couldn't be more grateful, for sure.
And if anybody out there wanted to look into it and sign up and all that, is it crystalgagefanclub.com?
Yeah, if they go to crystalgage.com, there's a link on there to join the fan club, okay. which would get them there for sure. Yep.
That's awesome. Now, what about duets? If there were duets in your future for a recording, is there any artist, if you could choose from any out in the country or even pop field, that you would like to duet with?
I would love to duet with Johnny Reed. I think he would be just so awesome. I love his vocals and just his how he, you know, interprets songs and everything else. And he played in Manitoulin Island as well, and just the audience just fell in love with him, and he's so just warm and wonderful. I just think that his vocal would add, you know, such a neat touch to a record. So I would love to record with him for sure.
That would be cool. Yeah, he's definitely got that emotional kind of voice, and he can do up-tempo ballads. And
pretty much anything. Yeah, it'd be really nice.
Now, what about advice, Crystal, for anyone who might be listening who is maybe in their teens or even in their 20s and thinking about getting into singing and songwriting and the whole bit? Any advice for them?
I would have to say, and it's something that I've learned over the last 2 years, is really just enjoy every moment. I used to put so much pressure on myself to, you know, like if I was this age and I wasn't at this stage in my career, you know, then maybe I'm not working hard enough or I'm not doing anything. I think just knowing that you put your best and put your heart and soul into everything, the outcome I think is just so much greater if you, you know, are at peace in that way. If you just say, you know, I've given it my entire all and just worked really hard I take every experience as it comes, and I just, you know, I'm just appreciative every day that I can do what I love and make a living. So,
and how important is family in all of this for you? Family and the people
huge.
Around you.
Huge. It's so huge. Like there are so many. It's so funny. Last Sunday I had a day off and we went to the zoo with my family, and it was
nice.
It was such a huge event. And I mean, I remember posting it all over my Facebook. Like, I'm going to the zoo on my Sunday. And my little niece, she's 4 years old. She says, "We're here because you had a missing day, right?" So that's how she just was like, "Wow, we're all at the zoo." too. And it's just, I mean, it just, you forget sometimes to go, whoa, you know, there's a cheering section and a backbone to this. And it's the whole reason that I'm doing this that you can't ever forget, for sure.
That's awesome. Now we're getting set to wrap up things in just a few moments, Crystal, but wanted to give you a chance to let our listeners know where they can find you on the internet. And it seems that you're sort of with every social media there is, so maybe fill us in on but how we can find you.
Sometimes it drives my head crazy, but it's so true. I sit there and I go, there are so many, I mean, the internet is great, but at the same time, it's like, it's so much work to keep up on everything, but I'm so grateful. My older brother is into computers, and so he helps me with that when I'm away. But yeah, if you go to my website, crystalgage.com, there is a link for everything else on there. My MySpace, I have Reverb Nation, Twitter, Facebook. So yeah, you can link to everything else from my website. That's probably the easiest route to go.
Yeah, it's nice how they're all linked up there, and you can go from one to the other. And I guess basically we can know what you're doing at every hour of the day with all these different...
Pretty much. I know. Like when you see the one, Crystal is going to bed, you know, that's when we finally shut off, right?
Exactly.
For sure. Yeah,
it's amazing. Well, Crystal, I really want to thank you for coming on the show and sharing your songs with us. And I'm going to encourage our listeners right now to purchase your CD, Dust to Diamonds. Now, can they do that off of your website?
Yeah, they can.
Okay, great. So head over to there and check out Dust to Diamonds. So, Crystal, thanks very much. It's a pleasure speaking with you.
Pleasure speaking with you. Thanks so much, Dave. I appreciate it.
That's awesome, and hope to talk to you again in the future.
All right, great. Take care.
My guest today has been country artist Crystal Gage, and again, be sure to pick up her latest CD, Dust to Diamonds. You will not be disappointed. I'm Dave Woods. In the Country is an Artist Insights exclusive production.
Spend some time in the country. We're glad that you dropped by.